in our conversation on Wednesdays, I'll be talking about what I call renewed strength. Look at your neighbors, tell them renewed strength. Renewed strength. The first scripture we read on December 31st,
well,
yeah, first scripture this year, because we read it 31st and we preached almost till 12 midnight, was the scripture. Isaiah chapter 40, from verse 28 to 31. Sometimes I feel like the heat is directed towards me in a different way when I hold the mic here. Oh, my world. Isaiah chapter 40, and from verse 28 to 31. If the screen comes up, good. If not, I can read it from here too. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary or tired. There is no searching to his understanding. God does not get tired. God is never tired. You know, sometimes we almost think that God is tired because it looks like some things he has had it over and over and over again. No, he does not have the capacity to be tired. In fact, in the human description of God, God auto-replenishes himself every day. That's what Lamentation chapter 3 says. It says, his mercies are new every morning. And I mean, it's just human beings that are using that description, because to God, is there really a morning? I mean, because God is awake when we are sleeping here in the United States. And even apart from God is awake, there are other human beings that are awake when we are sleeping, right? It is their own morning there. So when they are saying good morning, Lord, and we are saying good night, Lord, so God cannot be keeping morning and night per se in the way we look at it. So that description that the mercy of God renews itself every morning is just the best way a human being can put it together and say the mercy of God is always new. Can you say thank you, Jesus, because you never get tired? So the Bible says, he neither faints nor is weary, and there is no searching to his understanding. In my translation here, it says, his understanding is unsearchable. Then verse 29 says, he gives power to the weak. Ah, praise God for that. He gives power to the faint. I don't know if somebody has been tired before. You walk out or you did something, you were worn out. But thanks be to God that he gives power to the faint. As it says, to them that have no mind, he increaseth strength. To them that have no mind, God can increase their strength. I see your strength increasing. As you end the year, you will end with increased strength in the name of Jesus. Verse 30 says, even the youth shall faint and be weary. Even the youth shall faint. Because sometimes some people think their age is an advantage, which should be. Some people think their qualification is an advantage, which sometimes can be. Some people think it's their connection that is an advantage, which sometimes can be. But there is no advantage in the natural that can fail. That's why the Bible says, even the youth will be tired. Even the connection that you thought was sure banker, secured, I take that to the bank, it's always secured. That connection can fail. That thing that you are relying on in the flesh can fail. But thanks be to God, the Bible says, even the youth shall faint and be weary, the young men shall utterly fall. Now look at 31. He said, but those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. I prophesy to somebody listening to me tonight. You shall mount up with wings as eagles. You will run and not be weary. You will walk and you will not faint. When others are quitting, you will be standing. When others are saying there is casting down, you say there is lifting up. Your reality will be the reality of scriptures in the name of Jesus. Because ladies and gentlemen, in the natural, there is nothing in the natural that can be depleted. There's nothing in the natural that can be depleted. But thanks be to God that we have a God with unlimited resources. So I said earlier on that I think in our prayer that we started this year with divine shift, and we need to end back to remind ourselves that, but from another angle, and the angle I wanted to go from it this few weeks into the new year, is the angle of renewed strength. Is the angle of renewed strength. You know, ladies and gentlemen, many of the times in our world, we are dealing with strength. It's a strength issue. Strength or energy is a major resource that many people deal with, that we need for the advancement of destiny, for the fulfillment of destiny. If you look at that scripture that we just read now, God is trying to say that there is something about weakness that will make people not get to where God wants them to get to. There is something about being tired. There is something about being incapable. There is something about being incompetent that keeps people from the fullness of what they want to do. Ladies and gentlemen, do you know that there are many willing people in the world? Most of the time, the problem is not with the will. The problem is not with the desire. The problem is not with the anticipation and the willingness to receive. Many of the time, it's the ability issue. People are willing but are unable. There are people that are willing to do well in life. There are people that are willing to succeed as a student. There are people that are willing to succeed as wives and husbands. There are people that are willing to succeed in any endeavor, but many of the time, they are unable. That's why God said, I understand that your willingness is not good enough. I can supply the ability. I declare where you need ability, there will be ability supplied in the name of Jesus. You know, even Newton understands this, that look, the law of nature, the law of motions, one of the law of motion, the law of inertia states that nothing moves until you move it. So there needs to be a force, there needs to be a power that moves things. And many of the times when people start a new year, there seems to be, because of the newness of the year, there is a release of energy for people. People are excited. People are willing. People believe they can do it. But when they begin to get to the end of the year, when they begin to get to November, September, October, November, they begin to get tired. But I came here tonight to prophesy to somebody. Instead of being tired, you'll be refiring in the name of Jesus. Instead of quitting, you'll be starting and doing better in the name of Jesus. So there is something about energy and fulfillment of destiny. There is something about power and fulfillment of destiny. There is something about strength and fulfillment of destiny. There are many people that have not fulfilled destiny because they got tired when they were very close to their miracle, when they are very close to what they needed to get. Because you see, many of the things that we have in life, many of the agenda that God has for us in life is like a race, like a marathon race. When you see people start marathon race, many of you were here when we had the Chicago Marathon, the Bank of America Chicago Marathon stuff. And I mean, I started watching it in the morning before I came to church. We knew that there were many people that started. You know that they were not going to do more than 1 hour. After 1 hour, they would just find a player and say, we will try it again next year. So many people are like that in their life. They start very, very well. But how many people know that starting well is not the same as ending well? Starting well is not, ending well is better than starting well. It's good to start well. It's very good to start well. A good start will enable you to maybe finish well. But it's better to finish well. I declare that you will finish well in the name of Jesus. So there is something about human accomplishment and energy. There is something. And sometimes in our traditional, in our world and in our workplaces, sometimes they call it passion. There is something. There is something about it. There is something about passion. There is something about strength that can move people in the faces of adversity not to be able to quit. There is something about it. And that's why I believe in this season, God wants to renew our strength in the name of Jesus. So in the beginning of the year, I shared with us that there are types of motions. That there are different types of motion. If you can remember, I said that there is a motion that you can call no motion, lack of activity, not sufficient zest. Let's open to the book of Amos chapter 6 and verse 1. No motion, just dry. Nothing has happened. Amos chapter 6 and verse 1. The Bible says, woe to them that are at ease in Zion. This is people that there's no motion. So there is some curse on just lack of activity, lack of movement, lack of progress. And sometimes some people's life are like that. In the name of Jesus, I want you to raise up your hand, your right hand to God, and say, I rebuke every spirit of complacency over my life in Jesus' name. Because there are many people, there's a lot of good idea. Oh, it's a good idea. Oh, I have this very bright idea. But their idea never makes it into action. I rebuke that spirit in you in the name of Jesus. So, there are types of motion, and the first motion is no motion. There's another motion that I call slow motion. And some of us have experienced this kind of motion in our lives, where it seems that we are slower than every of our colleague. We know other people that look like us, that trained like us, that have the same level of what we have, but have gone ahead of us. We are moving slower compared to our impute. We are having outcomes and results that are not commensurate to our impute. That's slow motion. And I declare that in the name of Jesus, everything slowing down your motion is removed in the name of Jesus. So slow motion is impaired movement. Impaired movement. And there are many things that slow us down. There are weights. You know, sin is a weight. Sin is a weight. And sometimes it's not necessarily a sin. It's just a habit. For example, watching TV is not necessarily a sin. But do you know that it's possible for watching TV to incapacitate a person? Because some people would rather watch TV than go and do what they are supposed to do. So that's a weight, and you need to get that weight off you. You need to lose that weight. I declare that everything slowing you down is taken away from you in the name of Jesus. Sometimes it's a relationship. There are people that some of us talk to that drain the life out of us. You know, sometimes some people just call somebody, and after they finish that call, it's like this oxygen in their life is taken away. The person is an oxygen grabber. He just takes the oxygen and turns. He just zaps them. And some people say, it's my brother. There's nothing that says you must be calling your brother. If your brother is zapping the energy, he's zapping the oxygen out of you. Oh, you can text. Ladies and gentlemen, don't you know there's text? Or there's WhatsApp. And WhatsApp is not meant to be read the time it was sent. You can read it at the time you want to read it. You know, I don't read my text all the time. Even sometimes I see a text coming in. I see the text and I put it like this. Sometimes I see a couple calling me like this and I say, that's why there's voicemail. I put it like that. You know, some people will call me and they'll call me the second time. I'm like, Alpha, dude. And then I reply again. I'm like, what's up? Give me a voice message. Because ladies and gentlemen, you need to understand how to manage your movement. Because there are many, many things that can slow your movement. And one of the things that can slow our movements in life is relationships. Wrong relationship. You see, in the story of Abraham, Genesis chapter 12 from verse 1 to 4, God told Abraham, leave your father's country, go to a land that I will show you. And God said, told Abraham as a person. So, and at that time, Abraham didn't have any child. So God expected Abraham and Sarah to go. But the Bible said in Genesis chapter 13 from verse 5, it says Lot also went with Abraham. God did not call Lot. And of course, because that was not the agenda of God, it led to trouble. If you read verse 7 of Genesis chapter 13 verse 7 and verse 14, you will notice that this relationship became a big deal. There was problem. There was strife. Because the wrong association was slowing down Abraham. This evening, I want you to raise up your hand and I want you to, your right hand, and I want you to declare this loud and clear. See, I lay aside every weight, habits, sins, and the past that is stopping me from moving at the pace of God for my life in the name of Jesus. Say this out loud also. Say, every lot that has followed me to the place of destiny, I break association with you
In the name of Jesus.
Can somebody say a big amen?
Amen.
So we have no motion. We have slow motion. And there's also evil motion. It's almost like reverse motion. It's almost like something is intentionally thrown into your way, into your way to impede and even throw you off balance. Evil motion. The Bible says in First Samuel chapter 30, from verse 1 to 8. First Samuel chapter 30, from verse 1 to 8. David experienced something like that. Evil motion can be devourers. God forbid, there are sicknesses that destroy a whole life's work. That's an evil motion. Somebody has worked all his years, he's so and so, he has this life saving, then the person gets one terrible sickness, and some of those sickness, they will deplete the income completely, and the person will still die. That's evil motion, ladies and gentlemen. I rebuke every such motion in your life in the name of Jesus. I rebuke such motion in your life in the name of Jesus. So there is that kind of motion. It's usually demonic. The devil is doing it. His evil people are doing it. And those activities have stopped in your life in the name of Jesus. And finally, we said at the beginning of the year that it's a motion called God motion. Moving at the speed of God. This is not just adding. It's not the motion of you add 1 + 1, 2 + 2. No. This is the multiplication level. This is the motion that God was talking about in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. He says, and they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Remember, the youths are fainting and all of that. He now said that these guys will now be doing things that are not normal with human beings. Human beings don't fly. It is birds that fly. But the Bible said they will renew their strength like the eagles, and they will mount up with wings as eagle, and they will fly. I declare that you are going to fly in the season in the name of Jesus. Will you declare this loud and clear? Say, Father, I receive the grace to walk without fainting, run without getting tired, and I will soar like eagle in this last part of 2017 in the name of Jesus. So divine shift is God's agenda for you and I. But you see, because we have received that from the beginning of the year, some people may think that that's all. I mean, sometimes the strength seems to start depleting. The strength seems to start waning. And that's why we are renewing our mind by talking about renewed strength. I speak of renewed strength to you in the name of Jesus. Why is strength very important? Look at this scripture, Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 10. Proverbs chapter 24. And verse 10. Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 10. The Bible says, if you faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. So that means many failure is attributable to lack of strength. There's no strength there. There's no staying power there. So when you find failure operating, sometimes people will be treating the symptom. They will not treat the problem. Because failure is the symptom, according to this scripture, in many places, of a problem with strength. Somebody needs to go back to God and renew their strength and go and face that issue, and failure will bow. I declare for you in the name of Jesus, areas that you have failed in 2017, you will go back there and you will succeed. I say you will go back there and you will succeed. Because you see, we get tired sometimes when we wait on something from God. The Bible says hope deferred makes the heart to be sick. You know, sometimes you'll be saying God will do it, especially if you started in the beginning of the year. Say January, God will do it. You are excited. By February, you say God will do it. March, God may do it. And April, God, you just remove the will or whatever. You just say do. And then maybe by May, you just say, God, oh my God. You don't want to say God. It seems you are slow or you can't do it. You just say, oh God. And when you get to probably like June, July, you are like Anna. You are now mute. You just say, Sometimes some people, they shake their head like this in prayer. There's nothing. It's like the words have been, they've been snatched out of their mouth. But I'm declaring concerning you, in places where you are tired, that you have given up, I see a new strength rising up in the name of Jesus. So we get tired when time is passing away and the promised land seems elusive. It looks like if you can't get there. It looks like if you believed in a lie. It looks like if it was a hype all the while. Sometimes some of us, we even question ourselves, did God really say so? Can God really do that? Is that really possible? Am I not just believing all these pastors that just gets us hyped, that just make us to believe? God will do it. What? He hasn't done it. So what's going on here? But I'm telling you, it is not a lie. God has promised, and he will not fail you in the name of Jesus. So we get tired when what we hope for has not materialized. We get tired, ladies and gentlemen. We lose strength when we see that others that we started together are way ahead of us. Some of us, you go on Instagram, you go on Facebook, you see that your friend, he poses with that car ride, he poses by that house. He says, God has been good. He shows you, he goes to one nation, Paris, and then he does like this on Eiffel Tower. Say, God, when will I get to Eiffel Tower? When am I going to do the same thing? He goes to a restaurant. They show you the food. And you're like, God, you know, I need to think about my life. I need to think, why is my own this slow? Why is it that, look at my mates. All my mates are not at this level again. I know. But can I tell you this? The fact that people have gone ahead of you does not mean you not get to your destination. It doesn't mean that they will delay you. Sometimes your destination is different from theirs. You are going to a place farther than them sometimes. And so your destination sometimes will determine your vehicle. If you are going, for example, if you meet a semi, I'm sure you guys know what a semi is. Big truck. Those trucks that carry gas and, you know, and all of that. You see a semi on the road, and you see another truck that is, you know, not that big, and they seem to be heading in the same direction. Now, the semi may be slow, and then the other truck may be moving very fast. Now, assuming that they are going to the same place, let's assume they are going to the gas station. Now, the other truck runs ahead of the semi, gets to the gas station. Unbeknownst to the other small truck, he did not know that there's no more gas in the gas station, and the semi that he overtook was the one bringing the gas to the gas station. Do you know that that other truck will wait for the semi? Because the semi contains the gas. I declare that that's who you are. Things that have gone ahead of you will wait for you at your destination in the name of Jesus. So many times, because we see people that have gone ahead of us, we compare notes. And can I say a little thing about comparing notes? Please do not compare notes. Don't compare notes with anybody. No. When you go on Facebook, be glad for people. Celebrate people, because sometimes they don't tell you the full story. They don't tell you the full story. You go on Instagram, the picture is doctored. That's the best picture that person has had in 3 months. So you are using that best picture scenario to judge your own life. The person is playing a game of I want to show off. It's not the reality. Some of these people is once in a blue moon, they enjoy that whatever they put on Instagram. And some people are breaking their neck over it. I say, look at my friend. That's my mate. Oh, my mate have gone. How my mate have gone. I remember several years ago, it took me a while to enter the university. So I remember that time. I mean, I got born again shortly after I left high school. So, you know, I just went very, I'm looking for the right word now. I went very extreme. Not extreme in a bad way, but I just went all out. I didn't do TV. I was, those were some days. In fact, sometimes I decided I won't be wearing some kind of shoes, just sandals. You know, I think the anointing of John the Baptist came on me. The only thing I didn't do was to go to the wilderness. But I was wearing sandal, no TV, just very straight to the Bible and prayer, and then some other business that I had to do. Didn't talk too much to too many people. But somewhere along the line, I used to think to myself, all my mates have gone. All my mates have gone. All my mates have gone. So I think about 2 or 3 years after I left high school, I eventually entered university. The day that I graduated from the university, I now found out that not all my mates have gone. I was one of the few that graduated early from my set that left the high school. So the pressure of all my mates have gone was not necessary, because they are not gone anywhere. Even if they had even gone anywhere, their destiny is different from my destiny. So I should not let their destiny put pressure on my own destiny. So wherever they have gone to, I praise God for them. I will also get there too. Will you look at two people and tell them, I'm getting there, I'm getting there? So when you have received good promises from God, when you have received things from God, when you are waiting, when you are expecting God to do something and you start getting tired, what do you do? That's what the scripture that we're going to be looking at all throughout this season tells us. Isaiah chapter 40 and from verse 28, he said, when tiredness happens, when the weak, when the people that are supposed to be stronger becoming weak, when the youth begin to fail, when the young men begin to utterly fall. He now says in verse 31, but they that wait upon the Lord, but they that know how to wait upon the Lord, but they, you know, I started from the point of view that there is motion. And sometimes we are tempted to think that every time we need to be in an active mode. Sometimes our most active mode is waiting on the Lord. Because there's a temptation. There's a temptation that comes to you and I that, oh, I need to get active. I need to do something. Sometimes the only thing to do is to wait on God. Is to wait for God. Is to wait by God. Because when you wait on God, God has the capacity. God has the recharger. God has the thing to recharge your battery. To renew your strength. And I declare concerning everyone listening to me, whether here physically or online, your batteries will be recharged in the name of Jesus. So, for the fulfillment of destiny, how will I get there? I need to wait on God. I need to learn how to wait on God. What does it mean to wait on God? I'll say a few things about that, and then I'll say another thing, and then I'll move on from there. What does it mean to wait on God? It means to look out and be prepared to do as he says. Look out and be prepared to do what he says. That's what waiting on God means. In John chapter 2 verse 5, John chapter 2 was when Jesus performed his first miracle. And Mary gave them the recipe for engaging the supernatural. The first recipe of enjoying the fullness of what God has. Mary said, this is how you get God to move. This is how you wait on God. You wait on God by waiting for instructions, and whatever he says to you to do, do it. Be prepared. Ladies and gentlemen, there are many times when people say they are waiting on God, God doesn't give them instruction because he knows they won't do it. The last one he gave them, they did not do it. So if he gives them a new one, he knows they will not do it. And if he knows they will not do it, sometimes he will not tell you. Because he's God. He knows that this person is not willing. This person is not prepared. This person is not ready to adhere to the instruction. So ladies and gentlemen, what does it mean to wait upon God? To wait upon God simply means looking out. You are looking out. Lord, what are you saying? What is your instruction? What do you want me to do? What is your instruction for the now? Because your instruction for the now may be contrary to common sense, may be contrary to common wisdom, may be contrary to what everybody thinks I should do. Your instruction may not make sense, but it will make God. And if it makes God, you will experience miracles. So Jesus told them, Mary told them, whatsoever he tells you to do, do it. And thank God he had prepped them. Because the next instruction they had from Jesus was unbelievable. Was like, are you kidding me? For real? Seriously? You know? Like some of these kids would tell you, you know. Jesus told them, go fill the water pots up. Number one, they would have asked him, sir, we've run out of wine. This is a wedding. We don't have forever. We have paid for this hall. Our time is running out. They are soon going to close this hall. And people are expecting something, sir. You are saying we should go and fill water. Well, you should tell us, take money and go and buy drinks. We have already called the chariot guy to bring the chariot so that he will take us on his chariot to go and buy all the drinks. And then we are trying to make contact to be sure that they have drinks in the other city and all of that kind of thing. But Jesus says, go and fill the water pot. And you see, the water pot they were filling, you know what they were using those water for? It was for purification. You know, the Jews, I mean, they were living in like desert kind of area, so they get a little dusty and all of that. So usually in houses and events like that, there's washing. People wash their legs, they wash their hands, and you know, in some sense, that's how Islam got all this washing of hands. They don't know how it came, but one day I will tell somebody about that. It's not what we want to talk about today. But you know, they used to wash their hands, they wash their legs because they have been dirty, you know. So it was that water pot that Jesus told them to go and fill up. How smart. I was going to say something there, but Jesus is always smart. Amen. So, but thanks be to God because an instruction had gone out before then. Whatsoever he tells you to do, do it. Ladies and gentlemen, if you learn to obey God, you will enjoy God. If you are writing that, you can write that down. I want to learn to obey God so that I will enjoy God. Enjoyment in God is about obeying God. Simple. Sometimes it's too simple that so many people miss it. If I learn to obey God, I will enjoy God. So waiting on God is looking out and be prepared to do what he says. It also means waiting to serve him like waiters do in restaurants. Waiting to serve him. You know, when you go to a restaurant, high-priced restaurant, especially those ones that they charge you something over $100, amen. You know, the waiters are extra cautious. Because they know that automatically there's 20% gratuity on the tab. So if you guys spend $200, you all put 20% there. So they know that this 1 hour is worth it. They stand there. Some of them will hold a towel, and then they will hold the wine. If they want, they have the wine. They won't even allow you to pour it. They will pour it for you. That is how waiting on the Lord looks like. You want to make him happy. You want to make him excited. And I'll just say something about making God excited, and then we'll wrap it up tonight. So waiting on God is like, I want us to use the analogy of a waiting room, in the medical sense of the word, where people wait for to be called, whether they have a relative that is in emergency or doing something, and they are waiting on the person. And usually in the waiting room, they try to put materials there. Some waiting room, if it's like a maternity kind of waiting room, sometimes they will put something that, you know, people can read, and then there's TV or something. You just something to occupy you. And I believe in the waiting room of God, as we wait on him, as we do like in a restaurant, some of the things that are in the waiting room of God, the first one in that waiting room is praise. Because we're still talking about renewing our strength. But we are looking at it from the angle that our strength is renewed as we wait. But in this waiting room of God, there is this very vital item that you should take, you should use, you should engage, and make it work for you as you wait in the waiting room of God. As you wait as if you were in a restaurant. As you wait as if you were a waiter waiting on the bidding of God. Engage praise. In Acts chapter 16, many of us know that story, the story of Paul and Silas. These guys were a classic example of people being tired. They had been beaten, they had suffered, and remember that they were not beaten for any other reason. They were beaten for doing the right thing. They were beaten for believing in the word of God, and they took the word of God and tried to share it with people, and they were taken and they put them in prison. And the Bible says in verse 25, Acts chapter 16, and verse number 25. The Bible says, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and did what? Sang praises to God. This is how to wait on God. Paul and Silas at midnight, because that was the helpless place. They didn't know anything. This was like staying in a waiting room. And the Bible said, they prayed and sang praises to God, and the prisoners heard them. Ladies and gentlemen, as we finish 2017, can I give you a good advice? Increase your praise. Increase your praise. Let it go up. Raise the temperature. Raise the volume. Raise the participation in praise. Let praises be something that happens willingly, naturally, all the time, you know, around you. Increase your praise. If you need to play music, do that. If you need to learn new music, do that. Whatever you need to do to just keep your praise tempo up, do it in this season, because that's a good way to wait on God. That's a good way to wait on God. And you see, when you inject praise into your waiting, into the waiting room of God, Nehemiah 8 verse 10 says something. He says, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Praises bring joy to God. God inhabits the praises of his people. And you see, when God is joyful, you are strengthened. And when you are strengthened, you can become what you have, what God has planned for you. Because the Bible says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Then they will be able to mount up with wings like eagles. So if you praise God and joy is released and strength is released, you will be able to mount up with wings as eagles. So ladies and gentlemen, in the waiting room of God, as we go to the end of the year, I want to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, increase your praise. Many people, what they increase at the latter part of this year is that they increase their complaints. They say, God, this 2017, it has been tough. And this thing is going. Look at this year is going. What have I achieved? What have I done? What has happened? What have you even done for me? I mean, I've been coming to church. And then some of us who have been following some of these funny people online that are talking about tithe. I've been giving my tithe. It's not even a New Testament thing. Oh, God help them. I think I'll have a response one of these days about that tithe thing. You know, for God, you have not shown up for me. Don't increase your complaint. Increase your praise. Don't increase your complaint. Increase your praise. Because, ladies and gentlemen, how bad can it get for people to be in prison? One. And they were bound. They were chained. Remember, this is not prison of the United States of America. This is not correctional facility. This one is not. They didn't make this prison to correct anything. They made it to kill people. It's an African prison. Because in African prisons, people don't go there and come back the same. You know, in American prisons, some people will go there. They don't have GED. They get GED. They are now doctor. They have a profession. No. Some people go into those kind of prisons and they lose their mind. That's the kind of prison these guys were. But instead of them to increase their complaint, what do? They increase their praise. You need to raise the tempo. You need to raise the volume. When you come before the people of God, when you come to church, don't let them prime you to be dancing. Sometimes some people in church, they just, you know, people check everything, check the phone, check, you know. Sometimes you are wondering, who is this dance for? Is it your neighbor or for the guy up there? So I want us to increase our praise, Victory House. As we end the year, because there is something about praise that releases strength. It is the joy of the Lord. It releases our strength. Will you stand up this evening with your hands raised to God and just praise him, and just praise him, and just praise him. Sing a new song to him. Let him hear you sing a new song to him. Strength arises as we wait upon the Lord, and we wait upon the Lord by praising him. And when we raise up a praise, the joy of the Lord is released, and the joy is our strength. And they that wait upon the Lord, they shall renew their strength. They will mount up with wings. Ah, Father, we thank you. Celebrate you, celebrate you. You this good God, amazing God, the God that has shown us mercy, the God that has shown up for us. We give you all the glory. We give you all the praise. What a good God. What a powerful God. God that never changes. God that remains the same. We give you praise tonight. Hallelujah to your name. In Jesus' mighty name we are praying. Now, corporate praise is very good, but personal praise is more powerful. You see, the Bible said Paul and Silas, they were not praising God in church. This was personal experience. Other people just heard them by accident. This was them and God. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm excited when people celebrate God in church, roll on the floor in church. Some people disturb other people in church. It's okay sometimes, but it is better for you to be rolling on the floor at home. It is better for you to be doing that dance at home, because there is something about your closet. There is something about the praise where nobody sees you, because God that sees in secret knows how to reward in the open. And I declare that as you praise him in the secret, as you praise him when people are not there, as you celebrate him when nobody sees you, he will give you things that everybody will praise God for. In the name of Jesus, I see your strength moving up. In Jesus' mighty name.